What you know about PE Fitness? A more in-depth look on Dylan Jamelli's business. The number one channel for performance enhancement.
They need more education for muscle advancement. Can't learn it from a book or a pamphlet.
Tune in for the answers because your body's too precious to take any chances.
Welcome, everyone. Dylan Jamelli here today with a brand new video for you. And so today I got something a little different that I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a little bit of a breakdown of Dorian Yates' recent interview when he was talking about his steroid use and kind of what the pros did back then and what steroid use was like back in his time. So before we get into that, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to everybody out there supporting the channel. I cannot thank you enough. If you haven't yet, please like, share, subscribe, comment, anything that you can do to interact with the channel. It's helping the channel to grow, and it's allowing me to produce more and more content for you each and every day. Okay, so first of all, I want to give credit where credit is due on all of this. So the actual interview was posted by Mike Hind, and I'm going to link the actual interview in the description. This is certainly not mine, and I'm not going to take credit for it. I also, though, want to give credit to my man, John Bravo, because he did a documentary on this in one of his videos, and he went into great detail, and he's so good with his editing, and he put extremely good clips and went through everything, and he's the one that brought this to my attention and told me that I should give some insight on the cycle itself to kind of go along with his insight. So I want to make sure that all the credit is given to the people that deserve it before I even get into this. So I'm going to break down to you a few things that Dorian said in that interview, and then I'm going to kind of go through and give you my thoughts on it. So when you watch the interview, one of the things that he first talks about is their education back then, or lack thereof, of what they had. You know, it's not like they have the internet back here to go off of and look at and get all this information. So at the time, one of the only things that he said he had was what it was called the Underground Steroid Handbook. And that was written by Dan Duchesne. And when he was describing it, he said it's like a photocopied, stapled together book. I mean, it's not like you're going to go to back then it would have been like what, Walden Books or B. Dalton Bookseller or whatever the case may be. You're not going to go in there and find that on there. Now, one of the things that John brought up in his video was when America Online first came out, and he found it in some chat rooms. And, you know, you could find things back then. The Anarchist Cookbook was one of the things that went around, and all the like little hacking programs. And so that's where he remembered finding it online when AOL came out. You could do the little dial up to get on there. And that was right at the beginning. And then Dorian brought up another book, but he said it was very conservative. It was called Anabolic Steroids in Sports, and it was written by a man named James White. But see, the problem is that Mr. White was working in the military, and so he had to be ultra conservative with what he wrote, and he told Dorian that. Everything else was pretty much word of mouth, people's experiences, and he said something about possibly finding some things in some magazines, but really nothing else to go on. More or less trial and error. Now, one of the things that I found interesting, especially considering the size of some of these guys, was he said that the doses were far, far lower back then than they are now. And we can kind of get into that and confirm that as we go along here. But he said the accepted level back then was far less. And he said that, you know, like liver was a concern with D-ball that people knew about, but they were a lot more cautious, and they thought that steroids were extremely dangerous at the time. And he said maybe even more dangerous than they are. I don't know. I maybe disagree with that. I think he was probably right on the money. Now, Dorian started to talk about his contest prep cycles and like his way of doing things. But one of the things that he said, and I think we all are pretty much aware of this, but he said since the Mr. Olympia started in 1965, there has not been one winner that hasn't been on something. Now, he said that back then they weren't using a lot. He said maybe 30 milligrams of D-ball a day, for an example, but mainly the people were kind of trying things and experimenting with them, but they were very cautious with what they were doing, which I wish people were more like that today. He said that he was blood testing two or three times a year, but he said that nobody else was really doing it. And he said he understood why, because he said when he first went to his doctor and told them that he was, you know, wanting to get these blood tests done because he was using steroids, the doctor kind of didn't really like it until of course, he saw him competing on TV, and then things changed. So he started to talk about what he did in his off season and then for contests. So what he said in his off season generally was either test with Deca or Equipoise, and then either D-ball or Anadrol. And he said for contest, which, you know, is very wise, no aromatizing compounds. He wasn't even using test. Didn't matter in an off season, but no estrogen conversion pre-workout whatsoever. He was very adamant on that when you listen to it. So he was using Parabolin, which is, you know, Trenbolone, just a mix of different esters. And he's really, really hit home on how shocked he was at the amount of tren that people used back then. Or, I mean, right now, as opposed to back then. Because back then, well, one of the things he brought up about back then was there was no underground labs whatsoever. This was all pharmaceutical. So you knew exactly what you were getting, no matter what. But one of the things that he said was the dose that you were told to take of tren per week was 76 milligrams. And he said the reason was is because that's what came per amp that they were given. There was really no rhyme or reason, but he said that that was what they told you to run back then. And he said that he would take 2 amps a week when he actually used it, which, I mean, you do the math on that. You're barely over 150 milligrams a week of tren. And that'll tell you, that goes to show you that what I always say is that a little bit goes a long way. So he said that all they ever needed to do was tren, primo, and Anavar when they were contest prepping. Now he said when he was a pro, that he started to use growth hormone, but when he was an amateur, it wasn't even available. So here's one of the things I find intriguing, because the doses seem high, but then you hear the cycle length. So he said the max on these off-season cycles that he would run was 5 weeks. And I've heard this theory before from a lot of older school guys, and have kind of downplayed it because of the shortness of the cycles, especially with longer esters. He said he would take his testosterone dose up to a gram, which is extremely high, and you know I'm firmly against that, but it was only 5 weeks. And then he would do either 500 milligrams of Equipoise or Deca, and then 50 milligrams of D-ball, which is very high. He didn't really comment on the Anadrol dose, but he said he would, you know, maximum 5 weeks, and there was a taper down there, and then he would take time off, and he wasn't consistently doing that either. And then he said pre-contest, the 150 milligrams of tren, like we just broke down, 500 milligrams of primo. He said sometimes he would run test prop 300 milligrams a week, and then Anavar 50 milligrams a day. And he said that was pretty common to what other pros would be using at the time. So as we can see, and one of my biggest takeaways from this and biggest points to go along with this, and this is not an I told you so because Dorian Yates said so, but one of my things that I have stressed so long is that these big doses, they're killing people, they're hurting people. We're seeing it constantly, and it's not necessary. Now, I don't think anybody's going to come to the conclusion that you're going to win Mr. Olympia or be like this mega pro without some kind of use of steroids. I don't know that anybody's going to sell that kind of pipe dream. But these mega doses that you see people running, and these people that are in their 20s and just like collapsing and having no concept or understanding of what they're doing and thinking that it's necessary to need all of these or run these cycles with 5, 6, 7 compounds. And I've done it before too. It's just not necessary. Tren on its own is so strong. And that's when Dorian made the point. He said, I don't know how anybody would be using tren at 800 milligrams a week and how dangerous that was. And I see a lot of people doing things. I have always said the max dose that I would ever recommend running tren is 400 milligrams a week. It's just not necessary. And with tren, especially that little bit goes a long way concept, I cannot stress it enough. But when you hear somebody so respected and well known and so successful in bodybuilding telling you this, how could you not listen to somebody that's experienced it and lived it and been around it? I mean, everybody knows who he is, and everybody knows what kind of pro he was. So the big takeaway from this is that these guys, while lacking the information, were far safer, even during trial and error, than we are now with tons of information. And they were more cautious and we are more careless. Not everybody, but it's prevalent. And I know it's prevalent because it's all over the internet and you see people that are suffering and going through the problems. And because I have coached people for so many years, I see the problems and I know it. I live it. I'm in the trenches every day. So that's why I say that. I don't say that meaning like every single person, but you understand what I'm saying. And listening to him talk, and you can see how real he keeps it. And I think anybody that's listened to Dorian can see that he's not up there, you know, with an ulterior motive or spewing off a bunch of BS. You can, you know, I'm sure that over time people's memories dip a little bit, but he seemed pretty spot on and precise with what he was saying. And he doesn't have a motive whatsoever aside from to give people proper information and to help people out to overcome issues that they might incur. And so I would really recommend going and listening to it. I covered the gist of everything, but to see that they were that careful and cautious with that lack and little of information should tell you a lot. And we have an overabundance of information and are more careless and reckless. It doesn't make sense, especially when they could be going, well, we could test this and go higher, higher, higher. And we know now the problems that occur, yet still do it and let other influencers influence you in the most terrible negative way. So I think the takeaway from this should be that the people that do speak about more conservative doses, the people that are trying to tell people and let them know that the serious problems that could occur need to be listened to and not be, you know, bashed or beaten down or looked down upon by the bros that don't care about living another hour as long as they're getting big. And to each their own. I'm nobody's keeper, and I'm, like I say, I'm not your dad by any stretch of the imagination, but I am going to call that out and look out for people and then point out when somebody that's well respected is bringing up these points. So check the link, the two links in the bio, and go, you know, watch these takes and see the interview, and then check out John Bravo's take and then see my take and see how we all kind of go about this and get some education on it. So that being said, stay tuned for plenty more to come. Dylan Jamelli signing off.